Blog Talk Radio.
This show is sponsored by Global Executive Media. GlobalExecutiveMedia.com.
What I'd like you to do right what now, like you I want do you right to now, think about your dreams.
Welcome to the home of Launchpad Radio.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
This is Launchpad Radio.
With your host,
I'm Kobe Dumas, your personal GPS.
And I'm ID Pistola.
This is Launchpad Radio.
This is your radio.
This show is sponsored by Global Executive Media. GlobalExecutiveMedia.com.
What I'd like you to do right now, like you to do right now about your dreams.
Welcome to the home of Launchpad Radio.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
This is Launchpad Radio.
With your host,
I'm Kobe Dumas, your personal GPS.
And I'm ID Pistola.
This is Launchpad Radio.
ID, are you there?
I'm here, man.
Welcome back, Pat Radio, man. Technical difficulties. Yeah, welcome back. We were just recording for a minute, and then corporate came in and let me know that we weren't broadcasting, man. So we're just having lots of problems, and we're trying to recover for them. So,
man, hold on. But we always bounce back.
Yeah, of course. So if you're just joining us, this is what the show is about. We're talking about bringing the community together with inclusion, and you know, we were discussing when we thought we were discussing with everybody, you know, about, you know, inclusion and what does it mean. And Isaac, we're going to start over, and I'm going to ask you that same question that I asked you with myself, because I thought your answer was interesting. So just do it, you know, best you can, but. You know, what does inclusion mean to you, and how is that, you know, how do you see that affecting you in your direct community?
Right,
Isaac?
Well, I think, you know, like we discussed a little earlier, I think, like, there's not, I don't know if it's at the political level, or you know, or whatever you might call it, where you know they kind of don't want to mess up a good thing as far as like how they look at it or whatever. So it's like, you know, if we don't have to make people, you know, connect, we don't have to make people of different ethnicities and cultures work together to bring something positive or something great to these communities, specifically, you know, like you were saying earlier with inner city communities, then they don't want to do it. They don't have to do it. I think the homelessness problem is kind of like that too, but that's like a different topic though. You know, it's like, you know, if you could look over it, then you don't have to look at it, kind of attitude.
Right. And, but I would say, why would that be a different topic? You know, I think you would have to include, people who have a different sexual preference than you may think they should. I think you should include people with disabilities, right? I think you should include all of that in the mix. And I think it's a bigger picture. It's a bigger picture that we're talking about, because the climate of the world right now, it seems that it's really, really kind of, you know, it's a weird energy. You know, where, like, people feel, you know, and I don't want to speak for people. I'm speaking for myself. But in my opinion, I think that it's tough for a lot of people right now. And so it's easier for negative energies or negative things to take place. Do you follow me?
Wow. Yeah, definitely. You know, because,
so,
I don't know, it's almost like in one light where, like, you know, like, I remember being a kid and I can remember people saying, I don't know if it speaks for everybody, but, you know, as far as, like, you know, in a community with predominantly blacks and Hispanics, it was almost like an attitude with people that didn't live there where they were like, oh, well, you know, if you let them kill each other, you know, then you don't have to worry about them. You know, anything you give them, they're just going to burn it down, you know, and it was kind of like viewed upon in a way like that. You know, I don't want to say, like, you know, white people looked at it like that, but people in the power structure looked at it like that about inner city communities, and it was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it kind of had that type of stigma about the people that came from there. But most people in those cities want the same opportunities that they have in more upscale communities, in more, you know, upper middle class communities or whatever. And it's like, you know, they kind of like give that attitude, like, you know, in their communities, like, it's given to them because, you know, they know what to do with it and they know how to use it. And I think in a lot of ways, people coming from those quote unquote poor communities, I guess you could call it like that, have to come to something that sells. Like, we, you know, got to start using education, got to start using people around us, you know, to, like, help us, you know, in working together. Like, don't just have an attitude just because somebody's different, man. Like, I mean, it's one community, you know, like,
right. Let's talk about the other side of it. Let's talk about community and bringing the community together. And that's what we're really talking about today. And that's for everybody. That's all nationalities. That's everybody of every ethnicity, no matter what religion you're in involved, because we're all humans. And at the end of the day, we're all humans. And I think that there's things that we should be doing as just a human race to take care of each other, to love each other, to take care of each other, and to help, you know, just make everything a lot better and stuff. And that may sound cliche or fairy tale-ish, or, you know, I'm not sure, but maybe that's what's wrong, man. We need a little bit of that. And towards the end of our program today, I'm gonna, you know, I think the world is going through challenges right now, and difficulties, and have an understanding from our government practices to employment to the homeless problem to, you know, just straight up violence on the street in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and with our kids. So, you know, what do we do about it, right, Isaac? That's why we're here. We want to find out how do we slow this down and get things on track to a point to where, you know, there's love, there's energy, there's thriving, you know, where we can handle this homeless problem. You know, we're in one of the greatest nations on earth, and, you know, these problems should seem, you know, pretty easy for us to take care of as a nation. We have way more people that can take care of people that's not being taken care of. So, right. You know, it just depends on where you look at it and in your perspective. But, you know, today I really want to talk about, like, bringing the community together and the things that we do, like programs, you know, especially for, like, inner city and people in areas where there's, you know, they have challenges getting to the things that they need to be able to see the outside world and things like that. What can we do as a community to do things? There's all kinds of programs. I kind of want to get into a little bit of that. But toward the end of our show today, I do want to go into 7 lessons that you can learn in any life's challenges that you have. And they all pretty much are self.
I got my notebook
pretty much.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get to that point.
Yeah, they all come from within. But, you know, let's talk about bringing the community together. Just give me some ideas of what you think we can do in our communities now that can get people feeling like they're included, feeling like they're a part of something, feeling like they're energized and cared about, and you know, making some moves towards
you know, success in life, which most people just want to make a great income or find a business and make some money, take care of their place, have a nice place to live, and thrive just like everybody else. So what are some things that you think, in your opinion, we can do to get there?
Well, like we were saying before, you said a couple of things before, you know, I want to kind of piggyback on. I think we have to have an acceptance of each other first. I think that's the first thing, you know, because if we can't, like, we can't live with each other, then we're not going to be able to create anything with each other. And I think everybody has to have, like, either a conscious responsibility to want to, like, be something that brings positive attention to where they're at, and it brings positive attention to what they do, or be like, you know, have an actual responsibility to uphold something that helps everybody else, right?
Right.
You know, whether it be educating people, whether it be giving people, you know, food to eat, and, you know, resource centers and things like that. But, like, you have, like, we have to want to uplift each other. And if we can't do that, then it's not going to work. Everybody has a goal. Like you just said, Kobe, everybody has a goal. Like, you want to make some money, you want to live comfortable, you want to, you know, have a happy life. But I think it's like, you know, it's some things that create the bigger picture when you stick to them, you know, when you include other people and you make them a part of what's really going on. You know, I mean, like, if you build a bunch of houses on top of people, you're going to have a community with a bunch of empty houses with people stuck under them, right?
Well, but yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I thought you was going to say something. I was waiting for you. If you build some houses and you give people like credit training classes, and you teach them how to, like, you know, manage the money to invest in the house and to pay the mortgage and everything like that, then you're gonna have a bunch of houses with people living in them, and, you know, not reneging on their mortgage and their loans or whatever. You know, it's going to ultimately thrive. You know, you got to make it, I don't know what to call the word, Kobe, but you have to, like, make it work. I mean, you can't just give one thing. You know, if you're feeding people, you can't just feed them on Monday one sandwich, and then, you know, Tuesday through Sunday,
right,
they starve.
Here's how I look at it, Isaac, right? All right, so an inclusive community is based on mutual respect and, you know, with equal opportunities, decent living standards for everybody. You know, diversity is seen as a source of strength, not a divider or a division. It's about feeling like you're part of a community. You bond together, you commonly identify and share values, you know, and I think one of the main reasons people, you know, feel excluded is because of poverty. That's one of the major reasons.
Right.
People feel excluded because of poverty, and you can look at it in the homeless, you can look at it in our inner city neighborhoods, you know, where there's a lot of fighting amongst each other and things like that.
Right.
Excuse me. And so, you know, to me, I think that's one of the main reasons. And, you know, not having access to health or social services or job opportunities, goodness, or job opportunities or things like that. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, the problem just gets bigger. And so what do you do? Or what do you tell a person that maybe feels like, hey, you know, I don't have enough money to do the things that everybody else does, and I'm stuck here, and I don't have any other options.
and they're running out of options to take care of their maybe their basic core needs, right?
Right.
So how do you get a person like that, you know, and this is discussion. I'm just asking questions because these are questions that I have. This is what I want to be able to have a discussion about this because these are problems that we're having in our you know, nation and in our cities and in our communities. So I want to be able to talk about stuff like that. So how do you talk to a person like that feels like everything's against them and get them to maybe come somewhere where they can start and join and build with people who can help them in a way that they're serving and benefiting and being included in the community?
I don't think it's just one thing you could tell them, because to tell somebody one thing is like to promise them something.
Okay,
different.
But where do you start?
I think you start at the community centers, the schools, the churches, you know, the parks, the local parks, the mayor. You just start there, because I mean, like, it's a lot of cities out here where, you know, I mean, I know a mayor is not a president, but I mean, like, it's a lot of people eating off of these same cities that's struggling from these same problems. And you see the mayor is making $100,000 a year, driving a good car, you know, coming to work, coming to talk, to address the city in fresh, clean suits. But I mean, like, everybody's the same as they were before the mayor got in office, you know? And I think it's like almost a slap in the face sometimes for them not to want to, like, you should want to make your city look good. And I mean, like, it starts with the people that live there.
Right. That's why I'm trying to get to the heart with you. You know, you're close to the millennial group, and I'm in a more mature group. And so, you know, the thought process is different. Not necessarily right or wrong, the thought process is different. And so, I'm just trying to find, okay, if I have great programs, you know, like we may create reading programs, STEM programs, media programs, you know, that's probably just where I love to be at, teaching media, or just finding things in the community. But what if what I'm trying to say is it's tough to do that stuff in the community if people are already feeling excluded.
Well,
you know,
definitely want to be inspired. You know, we want to be inspired by something. We want to feel like something is for us. You know, we don't want to. You know how it's like when you I hope I'm not using a boring analogy, but you know how, like, when I know you have siblings, I have siblings too. So you know how it's like when you tell your mom, like, oh man, I need new pants, you know, and you know, you come home from school and you think she got you some new pants, because you walk into the room and you see some pants laying on the bed, and it's like, there's some pants your cousin outgrew, but they don't look too shabby. You know, and she's like, oh, you know, these from your cousin Levi, he don't fit them anymore. You know, you can take those and wear them. They should fit you. And you're like, I need pants, but, like, I don't feel like these were me. I feel like these pants would have been discarded or thrown away. You know what I mean? Compared to, like, if mom would say, hold on, you do need pants, and took me to the store, got me some new pants, and boom, those pants would have been for me. And I think a lot of times it's like they offer, you know, a lot of hand-me-down type of, I want to say, resources to some of these communities. And it's like, you know, it's like
you have to directly deal with the people before you come up with solutions for the people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like without that, you're just holding them over until that gets worn out, until that's no longer useful, and then you have the same problem again. So
right.
I think that it takes talking to the people. You have to go to the source. You have to go directly to the people and find out what the problems are. Are these common issues? Is it just one group of people that's having these problems? Is every group of people having this problem? And now what can we do to fix this? You know, now we can come up with solutions. What can work with everybody? If we can't give it for free, what can people afford? You know what I mean? Like, how can we, you know, circulate this solution? You know, if it can be a free one, you know.
Well, I'm going to come back. We're going to take a break right now, Isaac, and now that we're trying to just get to the heart of just, you know, what we're talking about, which is, you know, trying to bring the community together with inclusion, I want to give some general ideas and maybe go over some topics that we can start and things that we can do and throw out some ideas out there. But we got to remember it starts with you from the inside. You know, if you're feeling in these ways, it's important to get to a point where you can at least seek out individuals that can at least start pointing you in the right direction. But when we come back, man, we're gonna go into a little bit more community service and things that we can do in our own neighborhoods in order to improve them and grow and prosper and you know, get rid of the bad energy that may be out there. But look, Lost Pad Radio on Global Executive Media Network. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and we will be right back after these brief messages.
Let me tell you about the toughest guy on earth. He does the work of two jobs, but only gets paid for one. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving.
Selfie. Woo! Nailed it.
Being a dad is an adventure full of special moments.
A cruise!
Surprise!
Unexpected moments.
I got this.
And even awkward moments.
Okay, Dad, thank you.
But every moment you spend with your kids, even the smallest moments, can make the biggest impact on your child's life. So take a moment to be a dad today.
I'm Ferdinand. You look at me and think big. You think scary. But I'm a little misunderstood.
Sorry, I almost killed you.
Kids with learning and attention issues are misunderstood, too. Take the time to understand. Learn more at understood.org.
Titans, go!
When the Teen Titans go to the movies, they know the best way to travel is safely. To keep your child safe, be sure to use the right car seat for their age and size.
Exactly.
Hollywood, here we come!
The Atom has arrived!
Have a seat, my dude.
For more information on finding the right seat, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Impressive.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Juice, Mom.
Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store? Mom, I want you.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool.
Oh.
And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Once there was a boy who did the same thing again and again. One day, he was told he had autism. He got help and slowly learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Welcome back to Blockchain Radio Show. I'm your host, Toby Newman, along with Isaac DeSoto. We're talking about bringing the community together with inclusion. Isaac, you still with me?
I'm still here, Toby. You know I ain't going to leave you hanging, man.
All right, for sure, for sure. So anyway, man, I got people calling in. Everything's going on. We got technical difficulties going on, but we're going to get through this week. So... bringing the community. When we went on break, I told you guys I was going to come back with some general ideas on what we can do in our communities, man. And first off, I want to say that, you know, there's lots of stuff that we can do to help in our community, but it always starts with yourself. It starts from the inside, you know, and just look at who needs help in your neighborhood, but then you can always have the argument of what about individuals who don't feel like they need help or want your help. And I think that's part of the challenge, Isaac. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, part of the challenge is there's people out there that may not want help and they like things the way it is and they want to stay the way it is. And, you know, they may not want that coming in. But anyway, you know, there's lots of stuff that we can do. And I think we start with the youth in our neighborhoods. I think that's definitely where we start. You know, we can start with after-school tutoring and all of these things. We can volunteer it. We can, you know, set up programs and do things like that. And
the building of the psychological side, right?
Right. You know, I mean, there's lots of stuff that you can do. I mean, there's, you know, you can do things for hospitals, you know, like come up with donations for hospitals, organize games and activities, you know, and just, I think that we're running out of things for people to be able to do and make ends meet and be creative. And the economy's tough and the government is tough and, you know, people are, you know, the environment is sick. I think, in my opinion, I think the environment is sick. You know, we just had an incredible tragedy with the Nipsey Hussle, you know, tragedy that just happened over the weekend. You know, so, I mean, it's just, and it's really, you know, bringing a lot of things to light, tragedy to light, a youth gone too long. You know about that situation, right, Isaac? Are you aware of that situation?
Which situation, specifically?
Well, I was just talking about Mr. Nipsey Hussle.
Oh, yeah, man, I was so sad about that, man, because, I mean, like, what kind of jealousy, what kind of envy can a person put upon you to make you want to do something like that, man? To take a life.
And that's my point. I think there's a deeper problem. I think there's a deeper problem and a deeper issue that needs to be looked at. That goes beyond even some of the stuff that we're trying to talk about right now, man. You know, and it takes us from, and that's why, you know, even more so going to, you know, the things that I wanted to talk about as far as, you know, the lessons in life, you know, that you should go through when you're going through challenges is, you know, one is when you have a situation like one is that and you know, and it's affecting so many people, I think people need to just take a step back and look at their own movements and their own what they are doing, not what's happening
right
to them or not what the things on the outside. I mean, Tony Robbins had a great quote, and it goes, if you're going to make a change, operate from a new belief that says life happens not to me but for me.
I like that.
Life
I
doesn't
really like
happen
that
to me but for me, right?
You know,
and so
I don't mean to interrupt you like that, but I was standing.
No, go for it.
I was waiting on the train. And this is probably on Friday, and I was headed to my Rovia, and this guy passed by with his windows loud, and as he was pulling up, I thought he was talking on the phone. I'm like, man, like who needs to talk on the phone with the windows down that loud? And as he got closer, I heard he was listening to Tony Robbins.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, that's Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
It kind of made me
and
laugh.
Actually,
I knew he was getting motivated.
I think there needs to be a lot more of that. Not just Tony Robbins. You got Les Brown. You got lots of people, man, there's people that will inspire you right now if you just take a look around, and there's somebody for everybody, man. But, you know, there are times in life, you know, when things go wrong, bro, and most of us try to, you know, ignore it, escape it, and we deny the truth that life is putting in front of us. And when a problem occurs, most of the time it occurs when, you know, because something is not right, man. You get sick because you haven't been eating right. You get, you know, a big debt because you didn't live within your means. You get backstabbed because you're too trusting of people. Your partner wanted to break up with you because you're too controlling. The list goes on and on, man. I can keep going on with that list. You know what I mean? But instead of looking at external circumstances and blaming them for unfortunate life events, you got to start from inside. And that to me will spread and grow from the inside. So if everybody's looking at themselves and figuring out, okay, I'm in my own lane. I'm going to make things better within my own environment. I'm going to figure out how to, you know, get better within my own environment. I'm not going to victimize. I'm going to figure out a way to make things happen in a positive.
Right.
I think that grows. just like in the opposite, that negative feedback grows as well in the same fashion. It doesn't matter, right? And if you can look at yourself and first see if there's anything that you as an individual can improve in your life,
right,
and seek to do that first. And I think anybody in earshot of this, I don't care what nationality, what you're doing in life, I don't care if you own a major corporation, I don't care if you're on the streets and homeless, I don't care if you're in the streets and gang banging, you know, you can look into yourself and figure out what can you improve.
Oh yeah, definitely. Self-actualization is definitely a key component, because until we know ourselves, we're not going to know anything about ourselves. We're not going to know what we're potentially capable of as far as greatness. We're not going to know what's hurting us as far as like the struggles that we go through. We're not going to know where to go to like, you know, even better ourselves if we can't figure out who we are anyway. So it's like,
right,
you got to take a note from yourself almost. I mean, like, that's like, I was reading something and they were saying that part of inclusion is like a five point thing, and they were saying like it's psychological. Like, people need the psychological things that make you work, that make you tick. You need to breathe. You need to have food and water. You need to have interactions with people. You need to be secure. You need to know when your next, you know, type of stuff, like, you know, you need to know where your next dollar's coming from. You need to have esteem from being accepted with your peers and your friends. You need to have self-actualization, like you were just saying. And it kind of blew me away, because, you know, I read that and I was like, wow, I was like, that's so true. And then for you to hit those points right now, it made it even more valid, because, I mean, these are like, we're human beings, you know, we have, you know, basic needs, you know, everybody, you know, wants to live beyond their means, but like, before we can muster up anything to live beyond our means, we have to have our basic needs, you know? And
right.
If we have to live without those things, and we have to sacrifice those things for whatever reason, there's gonna be a void in something. It's like you said earlier, there's gonna be something unbalanced. It's gonna be an imbalance somewhere, and sometimes it proves costly. Unfortunately,
right.
and that I think is unfair to the people of, you know, specifically like we're talking about, you know, poor inner city communities. Sometimes it's the handicap. Sometimes it's, sometimes the youth, students or whatnot. But, you know, it all makes
sense. Well, no matter what, when you start from what I'm telling you, from the core, from you, from yourself, don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing, but think about your own true map, what direction you want to go, what can you do to improve. I mean, you can keep yourself busy, whether it's changing your habits. We all have habits that we can get rid of and replace them with better habits that put us the best place in a better place. Whether it's your attitude, you can change your attitude. Attitude to altitude, and it's everything. Attitude is everything. How you look at life, how it dictates more than I think people give it credit for. And then, you know, or your just general outlook. You need to change in order to improve your life situation. So failing to accept the truth that life gives you, you will forever fall into the traps that you can never seem to escape. So life is presenting you with the truth where you're going, okay, life is telling you, you know what, you really can't afford this place. You're going to need to get, you know, make more money, or you got to move. You refuse to get to adhere to that life's truth. Something's know,
that's right.
You're going to lose your credit score or something. Something's going to give. So you got to really be able to look at that and be able to move. And a lot of people can't do it. That's why I suggest people to find mentors, find people. And I'll show people find mentors or find programs that you can get involved with. And sometimes there's cost involved in it. Then you're looking at people that may have ulterior motives. They're not really helping you, in your situations. And that's why you just have to be able to slow down, talk, follow your heart and your ethics. Do a little research. Don't just jump in everywhere. Really vet people out, but talk to people or grow with people or learn from people that you feel comfortable with. But the most important part about that whole process is being coachable, and coachability is it's a big deal. So I think we may have a caller, Isaac. So hold on one second, let me check. Okay.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
Oh, you're on the call with Launchpad Radio. Did you have a question or you want to join the conversation?
Yes. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm pretty cool. Where you calling from? And what's your name?
Hi.
Yes, sir. My name is David. I'm calling from Minneapolis. I was hoping to add, I noticed that when people try to call, bring people together politically, let's say, to say support maybe progressive issues or any things based on like economic policy, right? What I find fascinating is that when it comes to the progressive side, the issue I find is with the economic policies, which a lot of people may agree with, along with that comes in, but now you've also got to accept, this postmodern social constructionist view of, people, like the idea, for example, like gender fluidity, or you have to accept the
right.
LGBT movement along with that. And to me, I feel like that undermines the progressive movement, because people can come from a completely different set of backgrounds, whether they be different religions, different cultures, different ethnic groups, but people can unite around things they have in common, like economics. And so it's easy to rally people around that. But then when you also tie to that controversial issues that a lot of people don't agree with because of cultural reasons, religious reasons, whatever ethnic reasons they have to not agree with ideas like gender being fluid or agree with the homosexual lifestyle, you undermine the movement and you limit the number of people that are going to join. And now you've got people who maybe, economically maybe progressive, but maybe socially they're more conservative, which is there's a lot of people like that in middle America, especially. And you basically push them to the right. And you pretty much, then you leave them no other option but to vote for Trump as an example. And so I'm just saying, to me, if the progressives really want to be serious about winning, I say drop the social stuff. Drop all of this, insistence on embracing all these, ideas that are popular in universities, and just focus on economics, man. That's how you get the people in the country to get behind you. That's how you get the working class to get behind you. But as long as you tell the working class, in order to join us, you have to accept these whole host of social issues that most of you don't agree with, you're never going to win.
So you're saying the best route would be to focus in on our economics, and I'm 100% with you. I agree, But in even in those situations, when
I agree with a lot of that too.
When you're doing that, there's this how are we affecting people? Because I understand exactly your perspective of where you're coming from, but when people what happens when those people are even feeling excluded from that, and it doesn't even have to be those special groups. I'm talking about anybody for that matter.
Because it's like he was saying, it's a ton of social agendas too. That's not the only one, but it's a lot of social agendas that tend to cloud a lot of progressive things going on. Like you said with economics, I like I wish I had saved that speech. I was listening to Bernie Sanders a couple weeks ago. And he said some good stuff on some points around that. I think I'll play it next week. We'll try and play it next week, Kobe. And
I'm trying to stay on topic with as far as I agree with the caller. You said your name is Don Ford?
No, my name's David.
David, got it. I'm sorry. So, David, you're saying that if we band together around economic, but I see, I'm saying I agree with you 100%. But when we do that, and we're banding together in order to improve, you know, just the social community in general, when that happens, people may or may not get excluded in that process, and that's where I'm trying to find out how do we fix those problems. I think that we should look at each other as humans and roll forward and figure out a way to work with each other despite our differences, because there's billions of people on the planet, and I don't think that there's no possible way we all can think exactly the same way just because of environment and how, you know, just how things are set up.
Okay, so
do you understand
what I totally understand what you're saying, and I respect what you're saying, and I understand that you're motivated by the compassion to have people who were excluded to be included and feel like they're part of the community. And I respect that. My point is, mm-hmm. that's great to talk about from a philosophical standpoint. What I'm talking about is winning. Okay. You're in a democracy. We're talking about numbers here.
Right.
And if you want to win, you need to get a lot more people in middle America to vote, because as it stands right now, the Democrats are in tremendous trouble of potentially losing to Trump again. And the reason is because the Democrats are not connecting with middle America. That is a massive problem that's not being addressed in the Democrat Party. Now, the other brother, he brought up a great point about Bernie Sanders. He had a speech right after the election back in 2016 talking about the points I think that he mentioned in the speech that you heard, which was if we get away from identity politics and focus on economics, which people across the board, regardless of what background they come from, have in common that they can come together around, now you can you can form a bigger majority.
Give this man 1,000 points, Kobe.
Yeah,
I agree. 100%.
And listen, I want to say this on the record, to be clear. I'm not a progressive. I'm a conservative, number one. And I'm telling you, as someone who's evaluating what's going on, and I'm telling you right now, your current strategy is going to set you up to lose. The reason you're going to lose is you're going to miss out on the white working class, the same way you did in 16. And I'm looking at the Democrat Party right now. The only person in your party that I have any respect for that seems to have any understanding of what's going on is Bernie Sanders. The rest of these cats, they're going to get killed in 2020. They're going to get murdered when they get out there, because the only people that are going to like them are people in the Northeast and on the West Coast. The rest of the country, they're not going to want to hear it, because they're going to look at you and they're going to hear you say things like white privilege. They're going to hear you say things like gender fluidity, LGBT. The minute they hear that, they're not listening to you. But if you come to them talking about economics, you talk to them about universal basic income, government health care, trying to make things easier for working class families, then they'll listen to you. If you start talking to them about protectionist trade policies that'll make more companies come back to America and give American workers more leverage, then they'll listen to you. Then they'll be willing to vote. But as long as you insult them and try to make them guilt trip them every single time for being white, and then on top of that, try to shove this whole homosexual agenda down their throat at the same time, they're going to give you the middle finger like they did in 2016, bro. You guys got to wake up. But in my opinion, I don't think you're going to wake up. Now, I'm not saying you personally, but I'm saying the DNC, and you're gonna get killed in 2020 again, sadly. I mean, I wish it was more competitive, but it's not going to be, unless Bernie Sanders wins, which I don't think the DNC will let him.
Yeah, see, I agree with you on that, but I think our problems are a lot deeper than this conversation right now. But you're right on so many levels. But I think that it takes a lot. But I'm just looking at, like, just our media. The reason why I had this show today is just because of the media thing. I live in the LA area and the things that's going on out here with our community and you know, the tragedies that's happening. I'm trying to figure out the way to get to the root of getting people to even get the right mindset to come to the table to vote. That's where my conversation is starting, because there's a lot of people that are so frustrated they won't do anything. They don't care. It seems like they don't care, because it seems like the system has failed us, when I think that we have failed ourselves by not doing the right things, because you read what you sow and we're getting it. So
wait, but how does the system fail people when you live in a country that's got more than 90% employment. How does that make any sense?
No, I said we fail ourselves. Not the system fails. We fail ourselves.
Employment on that level is just one issue. I mean, like, there's places that are, there, you know, there's 90% employment, but the cost of living is so high that the minimum wage that most of the people, because, I mean, like, realistically, at that 90% level, most of those 90% of those jobs are at the minimum wage income level anyway. And most of the,
right.
A lot of those people are living far under the
right. Right. Then they have to move, period. If you're talking about, let's be real, we're talking about people in California, New York, a lot of those big East Coast cities, a couple big cities in the middle, like maybe Chicago or Denver. So this would be, let's be honest, it's not the whole country. Like, I have a sister that went to college in Southern California. And so to rent out a bad one-bedroom apartment in Southern California near L.A. was like $1,500. So she had to get roommates and split it up, right? I live in Minnesota. I could get a luxury three-bedroom apartment for like $800 a month where I live. I could get a really nice house.
It's pretty expensive in St. Paul.
No, I'm talking about in Minnesota in general. I'm talking about outside of the Twin Cities. There's a lot of places in America you can go to where the cost of living is way cheaper. The economies are much better. They have way better job markets. And what I'm saying is, if you live in a place that's struggling, that the job market's bad, the cost of living is too high, then you got to do what most Americans have done, is you got to move to a better place. That's what my family did. That's what I've done personally. So you got to get up and make it happen, bro. You can't wait for a politician to come and save you, because that ain't never going to happen.
Right. And Kobe refers to this quote a lot of times, where he says you can't what is the one where you say if you're stuck in hell, don't just, you know, if you make a wrong turn and you wind up in hell,
don't just stay there. Keep moving. You got to keep moving.
Yeah. Right. And that was a good point. That was a good point David made right there. I like that.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of problems with that whole scenario, and they're I think individual from state to state, and I can speak from where I am. There's just a lot of corruption that causes that problem as well. So to me, you know, in that aspect, it's a failure in leadership, which means that's what I mean by when I say, you know, the system is intact because it's worked, and we know that for a fact. But when you have people in place that are doing things that are maybe not beneficial, we fail ourselves. If we don't vote properly, we fail ourselves. And that's why I always go back. You got to look at what you're doing as an individual in your community and in your own space in order to affect things right. That means if you're being responsible and voting correctly the way you're supposed to and providing for the city that you stay in
by being a great citizen,
then those are the things that to me are super important, and that's going to make changes, because we, you know, if we keep doing the same things, and I think we expect perfection all the time, and it doesn't exist, and that's why we get so disappointed. But if we keep doing the same things that we've been doing, we're going to keep getting the same result. And
that's a perfect point you just said right there. Now, my question to you is, where do you live? If you don't mind me asking, where do you live?
No, I live in outskirts of L.A. area, California.
Okay, perfect example. Now, in that area, mostly California, but especially the L.A. area, it's been ran by Democrats since forever, right? Probably your whole life, okay? The whole time.
My whole life for sure. I've been here my whole life. Yeah, my life,
exactly.
My whole life for sure.
Right, and would you say in the last 10 to 15 years that things have been getting better or worse in Southern California?
Things are worse than ever right now.
Okay, great point. Now, you remember the last point that you made at the end of your statement, which was great. You said, if we keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, that's insanity. So what I'm saying is, listen, think about this. Your state, California, has been ran by Democrats for 20 years. And they took a state that had one of the greatest economies, not just in America. California used to have the fifth largest economy in the world by itself.
Yeah.
It was one of the most prosperous states in the whole, ever. It was amazing. Everybody wanted to go there. Now, your state is literally breaking down all over the place. San Francisco is an absolute mess. L.A. is a mess. The budgets are completely out of whack. The deficits are crazy. You have the homeless rate skyrocketing. Businesses are moving to Texas in large numbers.
There's 170,000 people in the state of California living on the streets right now.
Exactly. If you've been to San Francisco, I don't know if you've been to San Francisco, but if you go to San Francisco, you see homeless people in tents living everywhere. There's crap all over the streets everywhere. There's needles all over the streets everywhere. They got the same problem up in Seattle. And what I'm saying is this, man. If you continue to support the Democrat Party and don't even have – I'm not talking about have the Republicans take over. I'm saying have some kind of balance. Because if you have only one party, you will have this constant mess everywhere you see. Because right now, I have family that live in California. Most businesses are leaving California. They're going to Texas or they're going to Arizona. You probably know this.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's been happening.
Most of them are going to the last Texas. Couple of years.
Yeah, that's been happening since for a few years, actually. Hello, everybody?
Yeah. Hello?
Okay, I'm still here. So, David,
here.
Are you still with us? Okay.
Yep.
Ira, you still with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay. I think he might be having a problem. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I can't tell what that is. So, anyway, Isaac.
I think he got a pizza or something.
Yeah, Mr. David, are you still there? Okay. Let me go ahead and turn him in. So, David has some valid points, man, but I still think the harder problem is starting from scratch with yourself in order. You know, this is why I focus on people's mindset and what you're thinking as an individual, so that you can allow the right people opportunities and conversations to come in, you know, and not be so rigid. Let me see if we got David back again. No, he's gone. So, David, I want to thank you for your call. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and you have some amazing points. I wanted to see if you had somewhere where people can reach you or if you want to, because you sound like you got a lot of knowledge. And, you know, call us back, man. We love it. You know, so, but I want to jump back into first, let's just take a break, man. Let's take a break. We're at the top of the hour, so let's take a break and we'll be right back. This is Launchpad Radio on the Global Executive Media Network. You can tell I'm rusty, Isaac. And
we
we'll
got a great
right
Toby
after
today. Yeah.
We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Adopt US Kids right. Presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We're small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work.
Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Oh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you live. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom now.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to... Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org.
A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy damsel coming with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This show is sponsored by Global Executive Media. GlobalExecutiveMedia.com.
What I like you to do right now,
Radio. This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
This is Launchpad Radio.
With your host,
I'm Kobe Dumas, your personal GPS.
And I'm Isaac DeSola.
This is Launchpad Radio.
This is your radio.
Welcome to Launchpad Radio. You can catch us on the Blog Talk Radio Network. The Gem Success Network on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/gemsuccess. But we have other shows, previous shows. You can call in and join the conversation, 424-675-8315. We're talking about bringing the community together with inclusion. We got into a little bit of politics with our caller that called in, Mr. Day. Thank you again for calling in and sharing your expertise with us. And, you know, I was focusing on mainly, you know, what can we do in order to bring the community together. And I was, you know, in a much smaller fashion is bringing the community together and starting with yourself, starting at a very small place so that can grow. And if everybody can start with themselves and improve themselves from the inside out, and we can learn how to talk to the right people, and allow the right people and the right information to come in our way, then maybe we can start to make the movement and start to make things change a little bit better and get the life that we deserve. With, you know, we everybody deserves. Everybody deserves a great life. I understand what the caller was saying as far as being able to accept things in your environment that you may not agree with and things like that. I see that all the time, you know, where, you know, they're pushing up on agendas and things like that on people that you don't agree with. And so this inclusion, you know, exclusion type of deal, it's a challenging, challenging subject. You know, it's just this, you know, we have lots of people on this planet and everybody can't think exactly the same. So we just have to, continue the conversation, in my opinion. But one thing you can't control, you know, you can't control life, but you can control yourself.
And, that's right.
You know,
that's
there are circumstances in life, man, right? There are circumstances in life that you can't control. So, for example, you can't control being born in a dysfunctional family or losing your family member at a young age or becoming a victim of an unforeseeable accident or having cancer. You can't control that. But when you go through life challenges, you can, you know, have the choice to either fall apart or become the victim of the circumstances, or you can rise up and rise above others. And that's where the mindset to me has to be at. What decisions are you making when things are not right? What advice are you getting? What help are you getting when things get tough? Right? Are you participating in your community? Are you voting and being active in the things that's going to make things better in your community? No, and if
you're
not,
are you being a voice?
Right, and if you're not, why not? And how can you? How can you find a way? You know, what can you do? Again, it goes back to what you control and what you have. Meaning, surrendering to life, you can become weak and vulnerable, easily influenced, especially by bad influences, such as, you know, well, I don't have to go into what bad influences are out there, but you know what I mean. And
right.
You can, you know, hope that those things can help you feel better, either. But maybe it's going to be temporarily. You can become friends with people that you shouldn't or hang in environments that you shouldn't. You can make a bad decision, not vote, right? You can become sad and emotionally unstable, which leads to depression and who knows what goes on beyond that. But if you realize that you are in 100% control of yourself, no matter what happens, you won't ignore the unfortunate circumstances and you use them as springboards to better you. Doesn't matter what religion, doesn't matter what you practice, doesn't matter what you preach, doesn't matter what you believe in. This is real facts, real truth. You bring yourself
right
to a healthy environment, you know, and then you can start to become healthy. You build your own support system within yourself, and then you surround people with a support system that's similar to yours, and they have good influences and good intentions. You build yourself skills and never stop improving yourself. You get the right information, and, you know, the journey continues. Right? You can't change the way things are, but you can change the way you look at things, too.
Right.
Right? And I'm talking specifically mainly for your personal circle, your immediate, just yourself. Things that you can do to make things better. Because a lot of the problems that I'm seeing out there, it's the situation that just happened this week, is people feel entitled. People feel like it's, you know, somebody else's fault. We have to take responsibility for whatever mess we put ourselves in, individually and as a group. We are responsible. And, you know, it's just as simple, just like we were talking earlier, if you don't like it, you got to leave or you got to change it to where you can fix it. Right?
Right.
I don't like the way things happen here in California, but I do things to make sure that I can either raise my income to be able to stay here or consider leaving and going somewhere else. I have other options.
Right.
That's just it. But you have to start from inside, and to me, I think that's the main thing. And how do you do it? Like, we can throw a seminar and have a seminar, and you know, we can do a free seminar and invite people to come out for a free seminar, and you just don't get the movement or the traction or get the people that come out there that probably need to come out there. And that's where my focus is. Why? What do we have to do to motivate those people? And that could be for a number of things. That could be to vote. That could be to get yourself help and to get into a better position, to get jobs, to help the economy, to volunteer. It could be a number of things. But there's just people out there that just don't move for anything because they're already at a certain point to where maybe, I don't know, just doesn't seem worth it, you know, helpful. I mean, I use pain to motivate myself. You know, I use it to motivate myself to become more determined, work harder, and succeed out of whatever pain that I might be in.
Right. I'm going through being motivated like that too, but sometimes it reaches a point to where it's like if you're only inspired by pain and you only move by pain, you're going to feel like socially awkward around people that are telling you, hey, you can do it. Go for it. I believe in you. Because it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, I was motivated by my pain and my struggle.
But look, I didn't say only
now
be motivated
by pain.
No, but you don't want to say only be motivated by pain. You want to use pain to motivate you whenever it occurs. But at the same time, you know, that's coming, you know, you're allowing that conversation to you know, direct your movements. Your movements should come from within, man. It shouldn't worry about what other people are thinking on the outside. And that's something that I think everybody has a challenge with. I have a challenge with that, right? It's just the way our society is built up that we're trying to, you know, make sure that we're doing the things. But we got to be able, like you always hear me say, you got to be able to have that right conversation with yourself so that you can allow the right people and the right opportunities to come in. But it has to start with you. And you can't allow outside influences to change your direction if you haven't had the right conversation with yourself. I don't know, Isaac, if that makes sense to you or not.
No, that
you can be your own work.
I mean, like, yeah, because if you don't have... If you wake up in the morning and you look at just the day, and if you look at yourself and you say, hey, I don't have control over myself. I have no control. Like, everything around me is telling me what to do, pulling me some kind of way, pushing me some kind of way, and directing me to something that is uncertain to me. Like, every corner I turn around is a surprise. Then you're not going to be able to control anything else because you can't control who you are. Like, you can't control yourself. Like, you know what I mean? That resonates with me, Kobe. What you just said resonates with me. Like, you have to check yourself first.
Right. And so, you know, I mean, you can be your own worst enemy and you can be your own best friend. And, you know, a lot of times life hits us hard. You know, we go through saying we hate ourselves or we hate ourselves for letting people who've done wrong to us in our life. You know, we hate ourselves for not being more disciplined and not doing the right thing. And, you know, all of those negative hates turns into nothing but a spiral of things going negative. However, having gone through a struggle, you realize that sometimes you can be your own worst enemy. You can choose to blame yourself for what's gone wrong, or you can forgive yourself and you can move on, right? So you gotta be able to – these are the conversations that you got to constantly have with yourself. And here's a quote by Buddha, time does not heal everything, but acceptance will heal everything.
That's
right?
True.
You might be in a bad situation. Time may heal it in a long time, but if you accept it, it heals it right there.
Right.
You just got to deal with it and face it and say, okay, this is my situation.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
If you can accept the terrible truth about yourself, then you can move on and make a better yourself, you know, a better you.
Right.
You know, acceptance on so many different levels is just like that. Sometimes you see people when they go to AA or they go to NA or whatever, and until they can accept that they're an addict of whatever's holding them back, what can't they do? They can't reach the next step. They can't get the help that they're talking about. I'm not an addict. I'm just blah blah blah. And like, okay, next person, because you want to accept
right.
yourself. But it works on so many levels. If you go to school, I don't mean to cut you off, Kobe. I'm gonna let you go right now. If you go to school and you can't focus on your studies, but you keep making excuses, and you're like, oh no, the reason why, oh man, because until you accept that you're not your that if you accept that your study habits are terrible, you're not right. going to be able to get the grades that you deserve, you know? But, you know, I'll leave it at that. Acceptance is everything.
Right. Acceptance is everything and stuff. So, but, you know, we got to figure it out, man. One thing, it's a big conversation. You know, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. You know, there's lots of opinions on it, lots of different things. But what I say is that people should just slow down, think about what they're doing in their own environment, you know, go out and help, go out and vote. Definitely, you know, definitely resonate and feel. I felt David's message and his passion, and he's 100% right. You know, go out
definitely.
And vote and do the right thing, you know, and pay attention to what's going on. And don't just be a victim. In your area, because then that doesn't help anybody and it creates problems and it ends up hurting more people than it helps. So, you know, but with that, man, Isaac, you got any final thoughts for the show this week?
My final thoughts in brief are just, I mean, you know, don't. I don't know how to put it in layman's terms, but like, don't let the situation and the place and the atmosphere that you're in right now be the end all tell all to, you know, your future. You know what I mean? Like, uplift, inspire, educate, and don't be afraid to be happy. You know, don't be afraid to you know, be who you are, because once you can't be any of that, like you can't really be anything else realistic. So,
I agree. I say help people. You know, as an individual, if you're out there, you may not feel the need to need help. Seek some help. Seek people. Seek mentors. Mentors are great. You know, I discovered mentors as an adult, even though I've had them my whole life, but I discovered the value of mentors when I got to be an adult. There's somebody for everybody out there. And with social media and lots of people, there's lots of people that's willing to help you right now when you're, you know, whatever situation you may have for discussion or whatever. You know, you just got to do the ASK policy. But regardless, you know, we need to come together more as a community. We need to take care of each other. We need to figure out our differences and move forward. This is Launchpad Radio on Global Executive Media Network. You can check out Global Executive Media at www.globalexecutivemedia.com. If you're looking for branding, marketing, design, any of that such, you can check out all of our replays on yourpersonalgps.com or kobedumas.com. You can check out some of our replays, listen to some of our previous shows, And hopefully next week, I'm trying to get these technical difficulties worked out. We're going to be relocating to another building and the whole nine yards. So look for us. There'll be some changes coming up in the future. But thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your time. And remember, take care of each other and take care of yourself. This is Launchpad Radio.
Always. We love y'all.